WildTalkRadio.com. The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeman, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. Listen to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
Soaking up the moon, can't sleep. It's 5 a.m. my time again. I'm calling and you know it's me. I'm pushing myself further. I'm just trying to feel my heartbeat beat.
It's Sunday night. You know, that means it's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. WildTalkRadio.com, twitch.tv/WTLiveChat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use code Rocket2049 item shop. Hashtag Epic Partner. We're on the road to WrestleMania. We're just less than 5-6 days away from the biggest show of the shows, the granddaddy of them all. And we're all here to talk about, I think, 13 matches for WrestleMania 40. I am the producer. Joined, as always, by the intern.
As always.
As always, yes.
As
he's here.
Always. I mean, we also sometimes have another person, but not always.
Not always, but he's back.
I've hurried as hard as I could, and I'm done hurrying hard.
Just in time for WrestleMania season.
We're just no in time for WrestleMania. Stokes.
I always try to get back just in time for WrestleMania.
That is for sure. It is one Keishi Matsunaga.
That's right. I am back until it gets cold again, I guess.
So June?
Survivor Series? April.
Is that baseball season or curling season?
Canadian Thanksgiving.
I'm back
until Canadian Thanksgiving.
There you go. Anyway. and then there's the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, he says he's back until it's cold again. Well, I'll just wait till Friday here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, anyway. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Yeah, you can find us on twitch.tv/WTR Live. Come and join us. Live chat, we interact. If we ignore you, we're busy doing other things.
Yes.
That's all.
Mm-hmm.
But tonight, we got a big WrestleMania pre-show kicking off WrestleMania week tonight with our WTR Pick'em.
Yeah, technically, isn't the countdown to WrestleMania now? Not
it's,
the pre-show?
It's no longer. Yeah, it's a countdown to WrestleMania is the name of the pre-show kickoff now, because the kickoff is like a press conference, which airs Friday at 5 Eastern on social. So there's a lot going on with WrestleMania. There's Slammy Awards, there's NXT, so much.
And Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
on SmackDown.
It counts.
It counts.
Is it a battle royal or battle royale?
Yes.
Yes, with cheese.
I was just about to say, what do they call a quarter pounder with cheese in France?
A battle royale with cheese.
Anyway, we have...
Royal avec fromage.
We have an entire show to get to. We're going to end with the three big matches on the show. We're going to, like, combine it all. The ones that are assigned to days, we're going to combine them all and just make picks at the end because it's all really convoluted and combined, and we'll get to that. But we're going to kick it off with some of the other opening matches that will be on the two nights of WrestleMania, including the LWO, Rey Mysterio and its new member, Dragon Lee, taking on Santos Escobar and Dominic Mysterio. Last year, WrestleMania was Dom versus Rey. Now it's Dom and Rey in a tag match.
Changing things up?
Yeah. What are we thinking?
There will be chicanery around the ring. I think we all can assume that.
Yeah. But is there not one more LWO member than there are whatever Santos' new group is called?
Legato.
Yeah, and he doesn't quite seem that happy right now. At least if any indication was given on the show when they made the announcement.
They kind of panned to his face a little bit.
Yeah, because Rey announced that it was going to be the newest member of the LWO, which someone thought, hey, that's me, until it was announced that it was Dragon Lee. And you saw the look of like, oh. And remember,
yeah.
Some of this started with the fact that Santos felt replaced in the LWO.
Yeah, interesting how that works. So do we see that Carlito cost them the match, Brent? Because that's kind of what you were talking to me about yesterday.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those things where you've got, I mean, Elektra and Zelina are going to get into it.
Yeah.
And Zelina will get her WrestleMania moment.
Mm-hmm. And they're fighting on SmackDown.
Yep, good for her. You've got the flippy foursome that are all going to, you know, do something really crazy and stupid. I mean, Joaquin Wilde or Del Toro, I can't remember which one it is that usually gets launched off the ropes and enters the stratosphere.
That was Joaquin Wilde.
Okay, Joaquin is... And, I mean, they both do, like, essentially almost jumping over the turnbuckles and hitting people.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do something really stupid because it's Mania.
Probably.
Olé.
I think we can all agree. And that leaves one person left there. And I think it's going to be one of those where it's like, he's going to be slightly conflicted, but in the end, it's...
Is he going to lose his Caribbean cool?
I think he's going to feel a little cheated, and he's going to take a shot at someone. I don't know if it will be Rey or the new upstart, but we can also agree that Carlito tends to work better heel anyway. So, mm-hmm. and it gives him something moving forward as well, because I think the whole thing with him and Santos has kind of run its course a little bit, especially with Rey coming back. And so, if he does take a shot at Dragon Lee, if he does take a shot at Rey Mysterio, then at least it gives him something to do post-Mania.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I stand on it.
So, what do we feel about with Dom now teaming with Santos? Is that a good pairing for this?
I think it's a one-off. I think it's just he wants to stick it to Dad before he goes back to his friends.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, Tim, who do you got in this one?
That's a damn good question. The other guys.
That's
Tim's
going to
the LWO.
That's a great answer. That's like an answer we get on CB Radio. Case, who you got?
I wish we could see what they did on Friday so I can make a more educated pick. I'm going to go Santos and Dominic. I'm going to go with what intern says, and I think Carly was going to cost him.
Well, and also, wouldn't that give Dom a win back from last year?
Yeah.
So.
It would. So, Brent, you're going the same way?
I'm going the same way. I'm going, if anything, you can have Dominic pin Rey to really kind of drive it home, too.
As if Dominic doesn't get enough heat.
Oh, it doesn't matter. You can always still get him. The man got heat at his own wedding thanks to one of his own brothers. That was amazing.
So basically we're unanimous on this one.
I thought you picked the other guys.
Yeah, you picked
the
other guys.
Not the LWO.
But that was the... Okay. So you're going Santos and Dom. Okay.
So
really
you guys,
is...
You just misunderstood, that's all.
Well, we were talking about Santos and Dom, and you said the other guys. So conceivably...
I thought he meant Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, well, I mean, those are the other guys as well.
No.
That movie didn't get the love it deserved.
It got all the love it deserved from me. That movie was fantastic.
I mean, it did.
It was fun.
And it did feature that guy from Fortnite that we'll be talking about later.
Guy from Fortnite. Anyway.
It's just like hold hands and jump out a four-story window.
Aim for the bushes.
Indeed. Move on to the next match where home invasions are you know, a thing. AJ Styles and LA Knight.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts? This is going to be fun. I really enjoyed the build up to it between these two.
Only build where one of the guys flew halfway around the world just to keep it going.
Yep.
That is some petty level shit when one of your guys is like, you know what? Screw it. I'm buying a plane ticket to Australia just to hit you with a goddamn chair.
You know I'm all for the pettiness, friend.
That's how you know he means business.
Keep it petty, bitch. But this is, I just don't see this being a disappointment at all. I mean, usually we're like, who wins? Well, in my opinion, the fans do.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, I don't give a fuck who wins. I'm going to go with LA Knight, yeah. But at the end of the day, if AJ pulls off the victory, I'm fine with that too. Because I don't see these guys delivering a stinker.
Cash.
As big and beefy as AJ Styles has become, I feel like LA Knight's momentum is bigger. So I'm going to pick LA Knight.
Okay, Brent.
I want to go LA Knight. I just have one big problem with Mr. Knight and his attempt to come to the Styles residence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same criticism I have for another place. So I'm supposed to cheer for the guy who came on to, who basically like invaded property and well-being to try and get revenge.
Oh yeah, like that's the first time we ever saw that happening.
Oh no, I'm not saying it's not the first time, and I'm not saying that it's, you know, it doesn't kind of fit his character a little bit, but at the same time, it's, if I'm supposed to cheer him, what does that say? And it's the same thing with Swerve when he, you know, went into someone else's house. I mean, at the time he was a heel, and at least they've kind of made reference to the fact that, like, he has to atone for it a little bit. When he cut that promo on, was it Dynamite Rock?
Yeah.
And he's kind of like, I've done some bad shit. I acknowledge it. I know I've got some reparations to make in this respect. It's like, yeah, you kind of do when you break into a man's house and stand creepily over his newborn son. That's kind of messed up.
A little bit.
At least with this, I mean, if you wanted to, you could say, well, technically it was on the front lawn, so it's like he didn't invade the house, but he still kind of went somewhere he probably shouldn't have, and you're going to tell me I'm supposed to fully cheer for the man. It's a little weird.
But it's less weird because it was out of, it wasn't like creepily coming to someone's house. He wasn't breaking into the house. He was just coming for the fight.
That's what I mean. Is it? They make it a little more palatable, but it's still kind of the, you know, it wasn't Austin breaking the glass to get in. It wasn't Triple H using Sledgy to break down the door.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of like,
yeah.
And I'm not saying that everyone has to be like fully squeaky clean babyface, because LA Knight is not that kind of person.
No.
But it's still just, sometimes it's hard to be like, okay, yeah, no, in that respect, I can totally just cheer for the man, but he did do some sketchy shit.
He did, but who's your pick?
I know AJ has kind of just turned heel and, like, swole, but I think you need to give Knight a big win, especially on the stage of Mania, to kind of keep him going. I think AJ can take a loss here and still be angry, and if need be, he'll pick something else up on, you know, Backlash or Payback or whatever they come up with next. But I think Knight kind of needs it in this respect, because he did lose to Roman technically twice, and you still have to keep the fans with him a bit. And I think if he loses to AJ, you run that risk of people kind of moving on a bit.
Mm-hmm. All right. Up next.
Wait, what was Tim's official pick?
Tim?
LA Knight. Yeah.
LA Knight. Okay.
All right. I was just making sure. Uso. Yeet or no yeet?
Ooh.
Yeet.
Yeet.
I want to see what happens Friday with Solo.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've built this up of, you know, Roman is giving the orders now, especially this close to Mania, and it ties into the main event and what happened Monday, and we just got, at the very end of SmackDown, the next set of orders, which was, take Jay out. He's not supposed to make Mania. And he's going up against his younger brother, who is the captain.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
I would not be surprised if this is like one of the top, if not one of the best matches in the whole thing.
The brothers finally get what they've always wanted, a shot at Mania against one another. This is what they grew up, you know, hoping for. And now they get that stage. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen them work in tag together on a big stage, and they do really well.
Yeah.
But this is years of planning. This is like shit you've done in the backyard that would be like, this would be really cool if we did this. Now you're going to be going, like, the day before Mania going, you remember when we talked about that? Let's pull this off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This match should absolutely be pure synergy.
Yeah.
Best way to describe it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
In potential, like, at least at this point.
It's like they're brothers or something.
Amazing, like that.
Like they've been together since day one-ish?
Something like that, yeah.
It's just me, day one-ish. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Jimmy's in the spot where he can take an L in this.
Mm-hmm.
Main event Jay, I think, can use a little boost, especially since after Mania, some stuff might shake up on Raw a little bit, and you can have a good new person in the main event scene willing to fight.
So officially, Tim, you have?
Yeet.
Casey has?
Main event, Jey Uso.
Brent has.
It's just me, Uso. Day one-ish.
In a match that got set up this past Friday on SmackDown, they've been kind of building and building and building. It is Damage Control taking on Bianca Belair, Naomi, and Jade Cargill. No, Brent. No.
I know. After show.
Yeah. This is the right spot to debut her?
Oh, God, yes.
It's the safest way to do it, to see if she has picked up what she needs to pick up to be that big WWE star they're hoping she'll become.
This is good coming off of the Royal Rumble to put her in a six-woman tag.
She's protected by two of the best on that roster.
She can come in and hit her high spots and then, if she needs to, be done with it. She doesn't have to carry an entire match by herself, which is a smart thing to start with. And, I mean, her very first match was a tag match with someone who couldn't really wrestle much, so that didn't help things. Mm-hmm. But with this, because she's had the training, because she's had time within the system to learn how to do things like play to the camera and tell a story, she got to come out and, on Friday, hit the big things she needed to and timed it well, where it wasn't like she wasn't overly rushed, which has been the case in other times that she's done things. It was all about high spot, get to the next thing as quick as possible. With the beatdown that they had, it was okay, I can just hit boom, done. But it was over in like 30 seconds. And then when she gets into this match, it can be, you know, just like the Rumble. Hit your big moments and pace yourself. And then the other girls can also fill in and do what they need to. And yeah, this is going to be a fun six-woman tag. And Jade will look like $1 million.
Which is the end goal. She has to, right?
Oh, yeah. For everything that they've built up, she needs to be the biggest thing coming out of the match. Because this match should serve kind of like the Rumble did with, wow, what did I just see? I want to see more of this. And it will be a reason to tune into SmackDown in order to see what does she do? How does she start to make her way through a division?
Yeah. What's your thinking, Tim?
I pretty much said it already. This is probably the safest way to get her over. She's got two of the best women on that roster there to basically protect her. And let's not forget that all the girls in Damage Control are no slouches.
Let's hope one of them is fully healthy.
Well, it's another reason why it's nice that this is a
six-woman tag. Yeah.
Six-woman tag.
it helps everybody all the way around. But Bianca and Jade and Naomi as a three-woman tag team. Mm-hmm. It was just one little shot on SmackDown, but that one little bit on SmackDown on Friday has me wanting to see this match.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind the anticipation and the build-up and the hype for Jade. That's beside the point. I mean, yeah, all of that led to what we saw glimpses of at the Rumble, and it's like, oh shit, you know. Brent said, you know, oh, I want to see more of this. We're going to see the high spots. We're going to see her moving from one to the other, but we're going to see the other two ladies pace her and keep mm-hmm. her at the proper pacing.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I was saying, the girls on the damage control, absolutely no slouches at all.
No.
Gary, Asuka, and help me out.
Dakota.
Thank you. They know how to make their opponents look good. Each one of them could carry a match by themselves.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to do anything that will be detrimental for Jade, because they know how important it is for her to look good and to get over. And they're going to deliver. And yeah, this is going to be a very entertaining ladies match.
So who you got?
Well, there's no way you're putting together a match like this to basically show off what is supposed to be your big signing in her first, you know, like real big thing and have her lose.
Yeah.
Not happening.
Okay, same pick.
Yeah, hopefully they just don't pin one of the women's tag champs, or if they do, I guess it would set up a program with them, but I would say that, yeah, Jade, Naomi, and Bianca will win.
Well, Gish, just let me throw this at you. If you had Jade pin Asuka for the win in that match, would that not be a good thing? Don't you see that as potentially good booking?
Yeah, I mean, if they're going to go ahead and follow through with like a tag title shot, then it makes sense.
Yeah,
kind of like the way they do. Yeah, they do the same thing in New Japan, where if in a match someone pins someone who has a championship, then they earn a shot at that title. So if they're going to have Jade or anybody else pin either Asuka or Kairi, then it would stand to reason that maybe it sets up a program where they go for the tag belts. If not, it's kind of, if they're not going to, I guess it still would give Jade a win over them, but I think they'd be leaving something on the table if they don't follow through with that.
Mm-hmm. And officially, Brant?
I have Team Face winning and probably something along the lines of Jade pinning Dakota.
All right, sounds good.
Bonus points or something?
No, but I was just, I had the same kind of mindset as Keishi, and if you didn't want to do something with the tag belts, then Dakota is the one person left, and I think she could absolutely eat a pin without a problem.
Yeah, and I mean, they haven't really done enough as far as a program is concerned to kind of really set up a tag match. Not that mm-hmm. they do a whole lot to set up programs with the women's tag team titles, but if they were going to, and they wanted to kind of draw it out a little bit more, you would almost be better off pinning Dakota.
Hey, Keishi, that's absolutely fair. yeah, they don't do a lot to set up the women's tag belts a lot, it seems.
Yeah, well, I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that can't change. I mean, you know, there is new planning or people running the creative now that weren't before, and I mean, they're not doing a lot with it, probably because of the build-up to WrestleMania, and they kind of have a whole lot of other stuff going on. So there's nothing to say that they couldn't start, say, post-Mania Monday and kind of go that way. But on the other hand, those tag titles have been around for how long? And they kind of only sort of did a little bit with it when it was Bayley and Sasha Banks holding the titles.
And let me just say, WWE, if you really do want to have a women's tag match come out of this post-Mania, please let it be Bianca and Jade and not Naomi, because we all remember why Naomi left the company before. Don't put her right back into that program, please.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens. Speaking of tag teams, the tag team championship ladder match, it's the Judgment Day defending against DIY, Awesome Truth, A-Town Down Under, New Catch Republic, and the New Day.
There are some people in this match that are going to do some stupid shit.
Yeah.
especially with ladders involved. One of them has his inspiration from someone who trained him.
Yeah.
Are you telling me Johnny Gargano on the main stage of WrestleMania isn't going to look at a ladder and go, Sean did some crazy stuff. I can do this too.
Considering the guy basically turned himself into Johnny Takeover, it's only natural for him to transition into Johnny PLE or Johnny WrestleMania. So,
and he's got his best boy there with him, willing to also do some stupid shit. Oh, this entire thing is... The fact that you have six teams all around there is going to be slightly crazy. Although, I did hear a very, very funny idea coming out of this match.
It's not my ladder match idea, is it?
No.
Good.
But it does involve R-Truth.
Well, of course it's going to involve R-Truth.
So, for the end of the match, he goes... He's the one that's left standing. And he crawls his way up the ladder... And he only grabs the Raw Championships.
That'd be funny.
Which therefore leaves the other belts up there for someone to grab. And that is how you... And this person was like, that's how you split out the tag belts.
That is... Go ahead, Cash.
That's actually not a bad idea.
We're on the same page, brother.
Yeah.
Like, you could just see him grab both Raw belts and go down the ladder, and he's just jumping up and down, and Miz is like, what the hell?
What you do? Like, this other one's up there.
And in the end, he's just kind of like, well, I guess it's better than nothing, so whatever.
And then he might also ask Tommaso Ciampa why he didn't do the water spit.
Where's your throne? Oh, God.
So is this the end of the Judgment Day run, though?
Yeah.
How long have they had the belts for?
Hang on. Let me undisputed rolling down. God, this page is convoluted. It'll take a minute.
I've just got this picture in my head of all the cats of Big Bang Theory banging on their laptops. Refresh.
Current reign has been 167 days since October 16th, but this was also, remember, they held the belts before Cody and Jay won them.
They held them, lost them, got them back.
Right. So overall, we're looking at probably 200 plus days.
Essentially, if they lose the belts, this would be the shortest reign of any championship in WWE of the current reigns, wouldn't it?
No. U.S. title.
Oh, yeah, shit, that's right. Second, it'd be the second shortest. I forgot about the U.S. title. It'll be the second shortest, technically speaking. I mean,
technically, that the Kabuki Warriors had a shorter reign.
Yeah. Your whole thing with R-Truth, is that what you're going with, Brent?
I'm not going to go with it. It's just a really kind of funny thing you could do, but then I wonder if the logic behind it is just, no, since he secured belts, therefore match over.
Unless they say specifically you got to grab both sets. If they say that, then you know they're shenanigans. Because
with
gonna
the
happen.
Setup they have, it's usually on that hook thing. You're pulling down the hook rather than the belts.
But it's also R-Truth.
I know. I'm just saying that's kind of what they've been doing.
If they had the belts wrapped around an oversized-looking coat hanger attachment.
And it's usually you pull down the coat hanger rather than the belt.
But if they have it secured in a way where you can grab the belts individually easily... Right.
I mean, you can do whatever you want.
It's potential, you know, it potentially could happen now.
You could build whatever you want. It's an outdoor arena. It's whatever you set, however you set it up.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, Rock, if this actually comes to fruition and one of us picks the winning tag team for one set of the belts, does that count?
I'm not the keeper of the records. That would be.
Okay, Brent.
Oh, you're putting this on me.
Well,
I would say you earn half a point.
That makes sense.
Because you would, since it was a unified title, even though you got one part of it correct, the argument could be made, but they weren't also the SmackDown title, so you would earn half a point if you picked one of the correct winners.
So that could be a tiebreaker.
And that we're not doing as a tiebreaker now.
I'm just saying a pick'em tiebreaker.
I know what you meant. We're not, too convoluted.
This is, talk about convoluted. This match is going to be chaotic. It's going to be a glorious mess. Tell me I'm wrong.
Oh, absolutely. You've got two guys in the New Day who are both big match specialists. also on a main stage, and you know Xavier is going to want to do something crazy off of a ladder or top rope or whatever. You've got Dunn and Bate, who are going to be on the full Mania stage together, and mm-hmm. I mean, Pete's now kind of acting as producer, so he's going to try and implement something crazy. You've got A-Town Down Under, which are going to be there to take said crazy spots and be bump monkeys. I mean, Finn can jump off of tall stuff. Damien will throw people into stuff. Mm-hmm. We already talked about DIY, you know, cementing their legacy and doing something absolutely insane. And that leaves the awesome truth with R-Truth doing something just generally stupid and The Miz taking a lot of really crazy, stupid bumps as well. Yeah, this match is going to be a car crash in the best way possible.
Who wins?
R-Truth is so good at the comedy that people forget how good he actually is as a wrestler. And the dude's like 50 fucking years old.
Yeah, but he also still looks freaking incredible.
Well, if you didn't know he was 50, you'd peg him at like between 30, 35. Well, maybe 35, 40.
Torn between DIY and Catch Republic in this.
I'm picking DIY.
Cash?
In a choice of self-destruction, I'm picking The Awesome Truth.
That'd be funny in a good way if they do win.
Since Tim
here my thought perspective is Truth has been doing so much with the Judgment Day
mm-hmm.
that I would not be surprised if they gave them the titles. That's why I'm picking. It's not like I'm just like, oh, I think it'd be hilarious. There's actually some like storyline build, and they've been putting a little bit of time into that feud. So I'm going with them just because of that. But I mean, DIY, I'd be fine with winning. New Catch Republic, I'd be fine with winning. A-Town Down Under would be okay because they would be like shits about it and rub it in everybody's face if they possibly could. And we all know how the New Day is as a tag team, but I'm still going to go with Awesome Truth.
Right.
Like I said, I'm torn between DIY and Catch Republic because I see this as one of those kinds of things, especially with Hunter fully in charge of creative, of like, I want to make one of these teams coming out of Mania and putting belts on them and letting them have a couple of months of defending it with people like the Creeds, you know, with A-Town Down Under on SmackDown. And I mean, like I said, this could easily be split if need be, where you have one group go up and grab belts, and then you have another group go over, and all of a sudden it's like, yeah, you can run tag divisions on both brands now because you have a couple of teams on each brand to be able to go against. That was the biggest problem when they unified them, was there really enough brand differential to be able to do it? And now you do, because they've built that roster back up.
Pick both. Split the belts, Brent.
You know what? Screw it. You've talked me into it. I'm going to go DIY and New Catch to split them. Because New Catch will go to SmackDown and face teams like A-Town Down and Street Profits and Authors of Pain. And then you've got DIY to face people like New Day and Awesome Truth, if you want to keep them together post-Judgment Day, and probably the other team on the rise, the Creeds. So yeah, I'll split them, and plus it would be a really fun kind of moment to see both of those teams each holding belts and kind of looking at each other.
By the way, R-Truth just sells off the other set of the belts at that to SmackDown.
He's not JTG Rock.
He's going to sell them to Nick Aldis, because that's how he gets rid of it.
Wrapped in New Day shirts.
Intercontinental title, Gunther, Sami Zayn, streak end?
Oh, God. I'm looking forward to this match. But as much as Sami might deserve the win, I think they are, and I've got reasons, but I think they're keeping the belt on Gunther for a little bit longer. I'm picking, I got to pick Gunther.
They're doing something with Sami right now that makes me think they're going to pull the trigger on him. And it's a trope that has happened back in the day before, especially with things like Money in the Bank. where you have the guy lose and you have them question and you have them, because it makes the win a little bit more surprising in a sense. And Sammy is that ultimate underdog that going into a match with Gunther, yeah, his chest is going to become different shades of purple that we've just never seen in nature before. But he's the kind of guy, as we saw last year at Mania, that can take an absolute beating, and yet at the very end, it takes one kick to just put someone down. Or, in that case, three kicks, because he wanted to send a message.
Yeah.
So I feel like in this, they've purposefully... Like, he got the win in the gauntlet, but ever since, it's been like, he hasn't gotten that win, and he's starting to question, is, you know... Does he have it in him, or, you know, is it the right time? And I feel like this is setting up that moment for, like, if you're going to have it happen, it's going to happen here.
Okay.
So I'm picking Sammy.
Cash?
I don't know if I can add anything that anybody else hasn't said. Like, Sammy has done a lot that would earn him this win. Keeping Gunther's reign, though, would be good. And if you go down... If you look at all the other matches with championships on the line and you look at how they might go, having him keep his title is something that would make sense, since there's probably going to be a couple of title changes in other matches.
You're leaning sort of where I was going, aren't you?
I also agree with the chat with Gunther moving on to bigger things. It is possible that you have a scenario where Sammy wins the Intercontinental Championship, Seth retains against Drew, and then all of a sudden Seth Rollins has Gunther step up to the plate against him as his next, which then with Seth possibly not being at 100%, also probably getting beaten from pillar to post by Drew, that sets up some problems. It just depends on how soon they decide to pull that trigger. If that's like more of a SummerSlam thing, or if they do that right away. Ooh. I think I'm going to pick. I'm gonna give it to Sammy, I think. I think they'll move Gunther on, but not right away. But I think it would help Sammy to have that championship.
Okay. US title. Logan Paul, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens.
Everyone just wants to watch Logan Paul get his ass beat by two people. That's what this match is.
Yeah.
They just want to watch Logan Paul get absolutely beat to shit.
Now, does KSI take that Randy Orton backdrop onto the announce table?
Oh, please.
Like, directly onto his head?
Randy gets that kind of, ooh, look again.
Or that guy who keeps sneaking in with the brass knuckles, maybe he takes it? One of Logan Paul's boys is going to get backdropped by Randy Orton, and like in the worst way.
One of Logan Paul's boys is getting buried.
And not storyline buried. We mean legitimately. There will be a spot somewhere in Philly that is filled with dirt.
It
is Philadelphia.
They're going to rip that Prime Energy drink off the center mat and droop it over their body.
Logan Paul made the one mistake. He made Randy mad, and then he just drove off. Randy knows where he's going to be in 6 days. That's not a good thing for him.
Yeah.
No.
Logan forgot that small tactical thing of, oh shit, I have to actually be in the match. So then again, Randy has not always had the best life choices himself, you know.
No.
Calling out The Undertaker. Setting the casket on fire. You know, all those kinds of things that when Randy was young and stupid, it was like, ah, I can do this. And then he wizened up in his older years and was like, yeah, no.
So who's walking out US champion?
That's a tough one. It really is. Has Logan Paul held it long enough?
Yes. Logan Paul.
He's gotten a shit ton of mileage out of it.
Well, I was going to say, the entire thing of Logan Paul as U.S. champion was simply to have him as the U.S. champion going into Mania. I think that was kind of the roadmap, was put some eyes on it, get it here, end story.
Mm-hmm.
Because also, Logan doesn't need a championship.
But Does Randy or Kevin?
That's just the thing. They don't.
They don't, but I think you could put something on Kevin.
It'd be nice for Owens to have a babyface title run, because I'm pretty sure all of the other titles that he's won so far have been heel.
Well,
that may be the Intercontinental.
The tags.
Tags.
I mean, as a solo.
Well, and the thing is if he wanted to, you could have Owens start with the belt as a face and then transition him if need be.
I don't think you have to, though, because just with his demeanor right now, you can make him the stereotypical fighting champion. Like, he's literally the prize fighter. So you could have him be like the fighting champion, be the guy that defends the title every single week, because he's a hothead and he'll just be like, yeah, I'll fight you. Let's go right now. We don't have to wait till we get to the ring. Let's go. I'll put the title on the line. Let's do it right now.
Yeah.
But I can also see Kevin or Randy costing one or the other the title, and Logan kind of gets like a sneaky pin and like runs away like the coward that they portray him as. So
I think it just depends on what do you see happening with the US title after Mania. Because you've got, like, if we talk about things like New Catch Republic winning a tag belt or not, does one of them kind of go for a US title run? You know, is it, God, I hate to say this, does Bobby Lashley revert to his old self as he insinuated and try to get a title? Because if it's Logan Paul in that spot, I don't see him fighting in those respects. I think Logan is more kind of like a, you know, hot spot kind of thing. And so that's why I was also saying he doesn't need the belt right now, is you already have someone who you don't know when they're going to show up at times.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the US title, if it's someone, and Randy does have kind of that adjusted schedule that we've talked about for the past few years, and I don't know when he's going to go on summer break. So to me, this all kind of points to the fact of, like, you can put the belt on Owens because he's around and have him fight, you know, Santos or Karrion or anyone that you want to set him up with on SmackDown, and have kind of some programs built in where if you want to move that belt around a little, you can. And you have the other two guys that if they need to stop in and do stuff, they can.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, Randy, you know, Logan's going to try and do some leaping move off the top rope, and he's going to eat that RKO like nobody else.
Boy, is he ever.
It's going to be one of those, yeah, that slingshot, you know, yippee, wham. Well, there it is. But in this case, I'm going Owens.
You're going Owens?
He's going to come out of this the new U.S. champion.
Casey goes.
I'm also going Owens because, yeah, I think he's going to be that fighting champion who defends the title regularly.
Mm-hmm. And Tim?
Yeah, this is another one that's unanimous. I think that they're going to give Owens a title run.
Okay. The WWE Women's Championship's on the line. Io Sky and Bayley. Thoughts?
Sweet revenge.
Give Bayley her flowers on the big stage.
Yeah.
She got the Rumble win. You can almost say she has been the MVP for the WWE Women's Division for the past 4 years, because she was a shining spot during the COVID era. The fact of, you know, her and Cole going at it in the Thunderdome, and just all of the talking that she was able to do in the ring when you didn't have a lot of sound otherwise. And then she, you know, she created Damage Control, which could have gone really badly, or it could have gone really well. And it looks like it's gone well in the long run. So good on that. And now you get this payoff of, you know, the Mean Girls have turned on her, and she has the chance of getting that big spot on the big stage and being the woman on SmackDown, when she's always been kind of, and I hate to say this, she's always been the fourth of the four horsemen. Like, Becky's been the man, has been shining as the beacon. Charlotte has been Charlotte. Sasha / Mercedes has had her moments, has had her time. Bayley has always just kind of, like I said, been the fourth horseman. And this is the chance to really give her that moment of being like, yep, here's her time, here's her spot.
Does Io retain Cage?
I don't know. Like, I think Brent hit all the right beats with Bayley. She carried the women's division, if not the entire WWE through the Thunderdome era.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got hurt. And then when she came back, the focus was on the group, and she was a mouthpiece, but you could tell that she was taking a back seat to try and help elevate everybody else. And now it's kind of come back around where I think she's earned the right to have a big WrestleMania moment. So I think that Bayley's going to win.
Tim, who wins?
Bayley's taking the title.
And Brent, you went Bayley as well?
Yeah, in this moment, you've got it. You have the perfect chance of giving Bayley that moment in the spotlight. I think you need to do this here, and then set up your eventual SummerSlam match of Bayley versus Michael Cole.
Of course,
the match that has been 4 years in the making, and that way you don't put Michael Cole's undefeated WrestleMania streak on the line.
Yep.
I'm being facetious, of course.
Or more realistically, you could have
Attitude Era, it would have happened.
Yeah, you could have her go up against Dakota and like really finish off that damage control storyline.
Well, yeah, because mm-hmm. Dakota's the one that ultimately, like, it seems orchestrated the turn, and I mean, she's the one that left Bayley high and dry in the tag match. So you've got something there if you want to make it the first feud, and then ultimately, you could have, in a sense, Bianca versus Jade if you want to be like, all right, who's going to get the shot?
We're going to get Bianca versus Jade in like almost a year from now.
I was thinking you could probably do it at SummerSlam because that would be a big match on a pretty big scale still.
All right, up next, women's world title, Rhea, Becky, go.
Ooh.
The promos alone have made this feud. Becky calling Rhea a bottom in Australia was just... It was one of those moments where, like, Rhea has always kind of had the quips, and she's always been on top, metaphorically and physically, if you watch her pin someone. But, like, Becky has just the natural presence to be able to walk in and drop that line seamlessly, and you got the reaction of Rhea just like, excuse me, what? And she's been semi-playing defense this whole time because Becky has kind of put her on her heels, and she's had to come out and, after matches, hold the title up in front of Becky after Becky's been going through competitor after competitor, and yet you have Becky that's still able to still get one up because, she can cold cock Dominic and get the, place to erupt.
Watching that punch in slow motion was something else.
Dom knows his role and he's doing it well.
Yep.
But all of this is making the match like you just want to see you always wanted to see these two women just work together because they're both fantastic workers and they're both going to put on a hell of a match, especially on the biggest stage of them all. But it, like I said, the promos have made it just that little bit more where you're like, okay, this adds a different little wrinkle to it because there's going to be spots in the match where it's like, yeah, they'll do the little cocky thing as well. Because I can see Rhea get some of the power game in and, do the little wave to Becky or being kind of like, oh yeah, you said I was a bottom. How about now? And then Becky, sucker punching her and then just standing over and being like, yep, you're in your place. Those little things are going to add just a, even more to them. It's going to add like the bow to what's going to be already a good match.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to add anything to that, really.
Yeah. Problem is picking the damn winner.
That's the issue that I'm having.
And who wins, Tim? Who wins?
I mean, like, who wins? Again, the fans.
Yeah, that's not the answer, though.
Oh. Here's the thing. You got to look at it. Is it time to strip the Judgment Day of their titles and have Damian come out and cash in? Yeah, the ultimate FU to Drew McIntyre.
I mean, maybe.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what the plan is. give him the WWE title with the Money in the Bank cash in after the match.
Well, he doesn't have too much longer left before he has to cash in anyway.
This is true. I mean, like Money in the Bank.
3 months.
Is July.
So 2 months. 2 months. It's June it's now, only, I think.
It's first weekend of July.
Okay.
And it's happening in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Oh. Like, what's the next pay-per-view after this one?
Typically Backlash.
Right? Would you have him cash in at WrestleMania or a Backlash?
I think Mania.
That's the better place to cash in, right? And let's just say Drew wins the title, or Seth retains the title. He's got the shit kicked out of him. Out comes Damian. And that would set up one hell of a thing between Drew and Damian, because supposedly Seth would be taking time off after dropping the title.
There's another additional wrinkle that we can talk about with that match and the cash-in as well.
Yeah, bring it up.
We don't know Drew McIntyre's status after WrestleMania, at least officially. Drew's contract is supposed to be up. And honestly, Mania could come down to, does Penn go to paper or not? Because if Drew signs a contract extension, you could just have him win the belt and that's it. Work towards him, CM Punk, SummerSlam, etc. If he doesn't win, that Money in the Bank contract now becomes much more important, because it allows you to take the story however you want it to go. So it all just depends. It ultimately depends on what happens in the next 6 days with Mr. McIntyre.
Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to keep it 100% under wraps when a wrestler signs an extension.
Yeah. But do we all pick the Rhea match? Because we got the Drew McIntyre somehow.
I'm picking Rhea.
Casey's going Ripley.
I'm just looking at it as, like, she beat Charlotte, and I think, I mean, it's kind of strange. It's weird to say, but I feel like it's like the completion of the passing of the torch. Because you have Charlotte and Becky, who were, like, they've been the top of the women's division for a long time, and giving Rhea those victories. For one, Becky's not going to lose anything from losing to Rhea. And so I think that just kind of, like, really solidifies Rhea as, like, the next person to kind of take that step up. So I'm picking Rhea.
Tim is going.
Well, I was going to say, what about you, Brent?
I have a little different take on this. Again, based on a match later in the show that we'll talk about here in just a minute. I see Becky winning here, but possibly dropping it around SummerSlam, because, and Rock and I have talked about this before, I think Becky kind of pulls back a little bit in the near future, but I think someone else is going to take time off first, which will allow her to be able to do essentially this one last run before she pulls back a bit. So I see her winning here to kind of get one last run. And also, I think Rhea has been on top for a year, because she beat Charlotte at Mania for this belt. Well, a version of this belt. And then she's just been in charge of the division for the full year. I think doing this kind of humbles her just a bit, or puts more fight into her moving forward. And I think this kind of plays all into the whole Judgment Day thing. Although I think her holding the belt, being the only member of Judgment Day with a belt, would actually say something as well. But in this case, I think Becky takes it off of her and gets one kind of last run before she's going to pull back. So Tim gets to be the tiebreaker.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking, like, you may have brought a few salient points, Brent, for a change.
That's so mean.
I know. I'm just in one of those moods. I honestly think, yeah, Becky's going to take the title off her and have an abbreviated run. I see Rhea getting it back down the road. A very short road. What?
Uh-oh.
Hello?
Keep talking.
Yeah, anyway.
Okay, well, yeah. I see Rhea getting it back down a very, very short road. Let Becky have the title for, carry it to SummerSlam and then drop it back to Rhea, right? You figure, guys?
Yeah, I think that's I think that's all good. All right. So let's roll into our, we'll go into the World Heavyweight Championship match because it's kind of linked to this one. You have champion Seth Rollins taking on Drew McIntyre.
Well, as we were all talking about earlier, this is going to be variantly dependent on whether or not Penn gets to paper or not.
Drew has done some of his best work over the past few months since Royal Rumble.
100%.
Cocky-ass Drew is amazing.
And no one is safe. No one.
No!
He's going after everybody. And he's doing a great job at it.
Well, and it's like you said, no one's safe. If he looks at Cody and he's just like, yeah, your story is shit. You know, it's my time. And you just go, yeah, he has that ability of doing that. You've got, you know, him laying out CM Punk and you know, getting merch printed about the fact that he's taken down CM Punk.
Oh, man.
And you've got him just straight up going after Seth, basically like, you know, yeah, you've had my number twice, but I'm different and you're going to pay. And the wild card is we've got Drew or we've got Punk that's going to be sitting there on the mic this entire match just being a smartass. It's going to be great. Although Punk being special guest referee would have been really funny because it's like, which of these assholes do I want to have win?
Who do you want to see Punk fight when he's all healed up and ready to go again? Would you want him to see against Drew or Seth?
Both.
Okay, first.
To me, I feel like the dynamic between Punk and Drew is a little more interesting. Just because it's like Drew has the size, he's got, you know, he injured Punk. I feel like Punk and Seth, I don't know, there's more vitriol there, I think. Especially because of what was said kind of in the years leading up to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of feel like in that respect, I don't know. Like, I know they'll do business together. It's fine.
Yep.
But it still feels like there may be a snug shot or two put into that match. On either side.
Over sure.
Oh, that potato landed. Whoops.
But, I mean, I also don't think it'll get too out of hand because I think Punk, even though, like, he's on a short leash, which is also why, like, I know that they'll do business because I'm sure Triple H is like, listen, and kind of laid down the law to both men, so.
Well, I think for the and we've talked about this on other shows and, you know, when we talk about other companies before, but I think, honestly, Phil feels more comfortable in WWE, as weird as that sounds, because he recognizes this as a business first and foremost.
Well, and there's a lot more structure with the WWE being that, you know, they're a company that has been around forever and like all the cogs in that machine flow pretty smoothly. They're not still ironing out tiny details here and there and trying to build into something. They've already built it. So a lot of the things that other companies are going through right now, they don't have to deal with. So then you have someone like Punk who also went through that system before and probably expect certain things out of a big company. So then it's like, oh, I don't have to worry about this. I don't have to worry about this. I can just kind of show up and do my thing. And there aren't any other headaches involved.
Well, and I think one of the bigger things is he learned from his first run. And I think honestly being injured and kind of seeing like, oh yeah, you can take time off or, hey, we'll put you on a microphone and let you heal. And we're not going to be like, you know, oh, you have a concussion? No, get your ass out there. Especially in today's climate. Yeah, Z-pack it up. But I think one of the best visuals to show kind of how Phil is feeling and what his current state of mind is, look at all the photos of him in NXT when he went to go visit, like, Cora Jade and all of them. He's happy. And he got to go down there, and when he worked with them to get ready for the Rumble, and, you know, he's talking to Bron Breakker, and you saw the videos, he's kind of you know, he's like, oh, hey, you know, I need to get this ring rust off. But he's also watching them work, and he's giving them little things, and you know the people in NXT are like, okay, yeah, sure, keep talking to me. Whereas from everything we've heard, when he was with AEW, when he would make suggestions to people, the idea was like, well, yeah, but I really don't want to listen. And I think, was the biggest thing for him, was just like, I'm trying to help and you're spitting in my face. And so I think this run in WWE, he's able to kind of be that veteran and impart his opinion. And people are there going, okay, you know, I see where you're coming at this. And, you know, oh, well, hey, maybe I should try that. And I think that makes him feel like, okay, I'm wanted here. Which for him, I think, is a really big thing.
Mm-hmm. So who's winning?
I was going to say, but back to the match at hand.
Who's winning, Tim?
Oh, that's a tough one. Just based on scenarios that I've posited, I'm going to say Seth retains. Bonus, okay. Damian cashes in.
Okay. Casey wins.
I'm leaning the same way as Tim. The cash-in makes more sense if they're doing the cash-in at Mania, which I think they probably will. It makes more sense for him to do it on Seth after getting just completely beaten down by Drew, versus having him take it off of Drew. So I'm going to say Seth wins.
And Brent?
I'm going in an opposite direction. I think Seth gets beaten down in the match the night before. And though he puts on a gutsy performance, this is Drew's time. And Drew picks up the win here. And you figure out Money in the Bank later.
Okay. All right. 2-1. Day one, Rock and Roman versus Cody and Seth. And day two, it's Roman versus Cody for the Universal Championship. Who wins night one? Who wins night two?
Oh,
is the story over?
Before we look at night one and then night two, I'm just going to start by saying this whole thing between Rock and Cody has nothing to do with either of their matches at WrestleMania in the big picture. The overall scheme of things. Night one, the Bloodline wins. However, night two, and this is where the whole thing between The Rock and Cody comes in. Night two, Cody takes the title. We've got The Rock in WWE for a long, long time. He's on the board of TKO. He's not going anywhere anytime soon. And if he does, he'll be back a lot. The Rock. The whole thing between The Rock and Cody is Cody wins the championship and The Rock chases him to try to get the title back to the Bloodline. So night one, Bloodline, night two, Cody.
Okay. Cash.
I thought, am I confused? I thought if Bloodline wins night one, Cody doesn't fight for the title.
No,
you're
Bloodline
confused.
Rules is Bloodline the stipulation
right.
For night
okay.
Two.
Okay.
So basically anything is on the table.
Yeah. I think, yeah. I mean, you can't call that many audible in a storyline if you're not going to have Cody win the championship. So as far as the title goes, Cody wins that. For the night one match, that's a lot tougher because you look at 90% of Roman's wins since he's had that title have been because of interference in one way or another. And so the way that you kind of like, you could twist this is, well, Seth and Cody won the match night one. So now all of a sudden Roman has to try and do it alone. And that's why Roman loses the title. And that's kind of like a big thing because so far it's always been Roman retains, but not without help. So unless you have some sort of big swerve during a Bloodline rules match where someone kind of gets in there on Cody's behalf to quell the rest of the Bloodline so that Roman still doesn't have anybody, then that's the way you go. Which, from a WrestleMania booking standpoint, that almost makes more sense. Because then you have all of those, you can get a little bit more mileage out of this match having a whole bunch of interference and near falls and overbooked finishing stuff.
Yeah, overbooked finishing stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah, no, so I was chuckling in the middle of your
trying to find the words for overbooked finishing stuff.
Yeah, I was chuckling at the whole scenario when you were saying, well, yeah, you know, like if it's bloodline rules, Roman's always retained the belt by cheating.
Yeah,
but he's pissed off the entire fucking roster on both shows.
That's true.
Right? Like, bloodline rules. Okay. Sami Zayn, Seth Rollins, Jey Uso. Yeah, sure. They've got matches. Not going to stop them from showing up.
Yeah. Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens. Yeah.
So.
I hate to say it. Drew McIntyre.
Well, I mean.
To a very, very lesser extent.
I think it was on Raw during the clip with New Day and DIY. Pretty sure someone was talking to a wise man in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure he's going to get involved somehow during that match.
Before you say anything, Brent.
Yes.
About this match or these matches. A little while ago, didn't we bring up, courtesy of you, a bit of a desire for Dustin?
He's in the other company.
That's not going
to
happen.
I know he's in the other company. To be allowed to show up, to be given that grace?
No.
All right, shut up, Rock. I'm talking to Brent. Shut up, Rock.
No, he can't. No, the answer is
yeah,
no.
Yeah, yeah, okay, Rock, shut up. I'm talking to Brent.
Brent, tell him no.
In ultimate fan booking, would that be something? Sure. In actuality, probably not going to happen.
It's not going to happen, but did you see the video?
I saw the tweet where he basically said, like,
fuck you, fuck the Rock.
Well, he said that, and then someone else brought up the fact of, like, oh, Cody needs someone, and he's like, you know, don't worry, he's got support. It's something along those lines. There's another conspiracy theory going around that could be very interesting.
Do you want to touch on it with your
sure.
selections?
I'll bring it up. First,
hold on, before you do, Cage made his official picks. We're good there.
I don't think I ever fleshed out the tag match, but just sorry, all of my Cage, talking. Oh, it's all good. It's all good. I think I convinced myself to go with Tim and have Bloodline win the first night and Cody win the second.
All right, now Brent.
Okay. I'm just going to get this out of the way. First match, Bloodline's winning simply because, for no better way of explaining it, it's a Cody match. There is going to be shenanigans.
Yeah.
It's just... Well, and it gives you so much more freedom for what to do in that match.
He's a Rhodes. You got to have some dusty booking.
Well, and then you get to play with the fans' emotions more that way.
Right. And especially because, like I said, if you want to have it where maybe Seth eats the pin night one, because you might want Cody to go into his match stronger. Him losing to either Rock or Roman on night one could put doubt in his mind to add to that match, and it would be essentially like, look, you did this to yourself with Jay or Jimmy and Solo all around the ringside, but I think Seth losing there and then having Drew pick up the win kind of plays into that idea of like, yeah, Seth has been the workhorse champion and he just got, you know, he got confident. He did two matches in two nights. He got beat down. That's just the case. And then if he takes time off because he is so beaten down, so be it. So that's why I do Bloodline night one, because it kind of gives you more to work with for night two. The conspiracy theory on night two has to play or plays into the beatdown of Cody. And this is what I saw online. Do I think it could happen? Sure. Do I think it's going to happen? I'm not totally sure, but we're just going to speak this out. When Dwayne was beating down Cody, what was near him?
A ledge?
There was a production truck.
Oh. Ah!
Who's on that production truck?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
And
I didn't see anybody
you
else.
Can't see me. Both are said to be at Mania in some shape or fashion.
Maybe.
Yep.
You never know.
You what?
You never know. It's all rumor
and
speculation.
Could be there.
WWE has made overtures to Steve Austin to be at WrestleMania 40 in some capacity.
They always now, do.
They always want people there. Last I saw Steve, he looked pretty good. He could take a bump or two if needed. But I think it could play a very interesting dynamic of, let's say we get into night two, and you start to have the shenanigans where it's, okay, Solo and Jimmy are there, and they're, you know, inserting themselves into the match as needed. And you can kind of start peeling them off because maybe Jay comes out and carries Jimmy back, or, you know, they end up fighting around the arena, and all of a sudden, okay, those two are gone. Something happens with Solo, Randy, Kevin, whomever. He gets peeled off. You still have The Rock there. And The Rock is that pseudo-authority figure of TKO, and so he's just injecting himself into this match, and it's, I will make sure you will never win this title. And he's been pretty much a dick about it the entire time.
I mean, hell, you could even have Triple H get in there, because he made those comments about, like, people coming into this company and thinking that they can still call their shots.
And fix the shit or I will.
I'm a little hesitant of using Hunter just because of the whole heart condition stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you could have, like, at least talking Triple H. Yeah, like, him and Dwayne kind of playing off one another. But, to me, it would be so fitting on the 40th year of the 40th WrestleMania, if you have this pseudo corporate figurehead injecting himself into a match to hear the glass break and inject into not only the storied rivalry between those two, but it would be in line with Steve Austin to be like, I'm not standing for this kind of corporate shenanigan bullshit. And so he neutralizes The Rock. And that leaves you with Cody and Roman, and that's when Cody can finally get over. Because I think everything has shown so far, and he signed the multi-year contract, WWE has shown Cody is a face, if not the face, moving forward. And as much as you may want Roman to take down Brother and his spot in history, I feel like if Roman wins here, you really will have a group of fans that are just going to be like, screw it, I'm done. Because Cody had his shot once, and if he loses here again, it's going to show that possibly, like, okay, maybe he isn't the guy, and I think a lot of fans will get soured on the tribal chief there.
Okay.
Even if carrying it forward is history.
Okay, bottom line, who wins?
Cody. Cody picks up night two.
There you go. Those are the picks. That's WrestleMania. And we're done.
And that's it for tonight. So, basically, WrestleMania week starts tomorrow night, Rock.
It does. The Raw post show. We'll recap everything that goes down at 11 p.m. Eastern to talk all things on the go-home of Monday Night Raw. Tuesday night and Wednesday night, we're simulating WrestleMania. About 9:30 p.m. Eastern, we'll go through both nights of WrestleMania. Hopefully they define it by then, or we'll make up our own rules and figure it out by then for a simulation of two nights of WrestleMania. Thursday night, we're previewing WrestleMania at 10 p.m. Eastern on the rack. We'll do the whole thing. Saturday night, we're going to review the show on night one. So it'll be me, Brent, and Tim and Casey if they want to come along. And we're going to talk about night one of WrestleMania. Then we're going to talk about night two of WrestleMania next Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Well, maybe.
Or not 10 p.m., but after the show.
Yeah.
After the show.
Whenever the show ends, we're going live.
We might go a little longer than 10 p.m. Eastern.
It's probably like midnight, but we'll see how that goes. We'll talk about it then. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link is huge for its account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel. Click the purple rectangle button below the screen. You also use credit card Rockstock before 99 Shop. Hashtag Epic Partner. Tim's on Twitter.
I am. Follow me at Flames Forums. I'm not going to be doing a lot of hockey talk because, well, it's the end of the season. But I'm going to be talking about a lot of other things and stuff like that. Just follow me because I have fun.
Ish.
I also won't be talking about hockey on Twitter.
You never do.
But I also won't be talking about a whole lot of other stuff on Twitter. I have social media. You can find me at Kyle Driver on Twitter and Instagram, but I'm really bad at it, and I don't post a lot, and I apologize for that. I'll try and do more wrestling-related stuff. Maybe I'll share local wrestling events. I'm pretty good for that.
Additionally, I have a merch store. It's Redbubble Store. The link to that is in the description of the Twitter and the Instagram. Feel free to give a little peruse, and if you feel so inclined, buy yourself a sticker. Thanks.
There you go, Brent.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter/Threads/X/Instagram at Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens, as the case may be. You can also find me and Rock, though this week might be up in the air, on Friday nights going against one another with GM battles. Hey.
Yeah, we'll probably push that a week, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, most of our roster is injured, so we may need to take time off ourselves. We'll find out.
We'll find out.
I mean, I don't think you guys can just take time off. It picks up where you left off.
Yeah, but Brent's busy, so we're taking time.
Yeah, we're taking temporal time off, not time off in the game.
Yeah,
real time.
Real time.
As opposed to game time.
Yeah. But that's WrestleMania preview. That's the show. Say goodnight, Tim.
Everybody have yourselves a great week leading up to the big event. Enjoy the big event. And we'll catch you next, Saturday and Sunday, immediately following nights one and night two. Have a great week. Oh, and happy Easter.
Oh, baby, please just hold me close. Make me believe there's more to live.
Around we go. In this game called life, we are nothing.